This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. I'm thrilled today to be joined by sort of the preeminent mergers and acquisitions advisor when it comes to revenue cycle and information technology, Brian Greenberg. Brian, can you take a moment to introduce yourself, and then we'll talk about a number of issues related to what you do, how you stay motivated, who you admire, and more. Brian?
Absolutely. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate the invitation and look forward to our chat today. So as you said, I'm Brian Greenberg. I'm CEO of Greenberg Advisors. We are a boutique investment bank, and we specialize in lower middle market transactions, specifically in two areas, revenue cycle management and healthcare IT. We also provide M&A planning and related things for those that are considering an M&A transaction sometime in the future.
And Brian, how did you get started in this? And when you talk about lower middle market, for those in the audience, what does that mean in terms of size of company, revenues, sales, whatever it might be, or income? How did you get started, and what do you mean in terms of lower middle market?
Sure. So, you know, it's kind of a funny story, Scott. I got started in this whole business by some combination of good fortune and dumb luck. You know, I was looking through the job listings at the Career Center back at GW when those kinds of things were printed out and in books, right, big binders, and there was an M&A job available. And that was 25 years ago, and I knew absolutely nothing about M&A at that point. It was just something that seemed interesting to me. So I got hired by that firm, and that firm was focused on international deals, and I had a significant interest in international things because I was in the Air Force, and I spent some time living in and traveling around Europe. So I worked at that firm for a few years. Then I worked for a few other firms. And then I started Greenberg Advisors, and you know, happy to say we just passed a pretty major milestone, 10 years at GA. So a pretty incredible journey so far.
Well, congratulations! And what was the transition? I mean, what a fascinating transition from the Air Force to investment banker. Talk to us just for a moment about that kind of transition. What it was like being in the Air Force. What it's like running your own team at Greenberg Advisors.
Yeah, so, you know, interesting, you know, I was a cryptologic linguist in the Air Force, which was an intelligence job. And so, as you might imagine, that means that you have to be able to keep a secret. And so, you know, we work in a world in M&A where confidentiality is critical. And it's actually, you know, one of the things that we see too little of out there in our daily dealings. And so, you know, we're hypersensitive to that. And so, you know, there's one nexus for you. But my whole goal in going into the Air Force was as simple as, you know, I was a young kid coming out of high school and, you know, didn't really have the means to waste anyone's money, which, you know, we didn't have on education. So the Air Force was a great path. It was 4 years and a great experience, and I grew up and learned quite a bit. And so, you know, I take what I can from those experiences and bring them into our daily business for clients. Different time, different. I was probably a totally different individual at the time, but it was a great experience, and I learned quite a bit.
It's fantastic. And let me talk to you about this. You grew up, came out of high school, family didn't have a lot of money to waste or waste on education. Now you're dealing with people, many that started companies, that this cash out event that they have is when they sell their information technology company, the revenue cycle company, maybe the first time that they've ever had real money or serious money where they don't any longer have the amount of worries financially they used to have. What's the mentality of people as they're dealing through those types of issues when you're dealing with the startups that are sort of founder-led versus the company deals?
Yeah, so our you know, everybody comes at it with a different background. And some of our clients in that scenario have, you know, they've built great businesses. Perhaps they're generating a lot of cash flow, and maybe they're not. You know, not every business is doing well and growing and generating profitability like every other. So, you know, really kind of comes down to what are their circumstances. And so some of our clients have made a very good living along the way. And so this is just one more, call it deposit into their bank account on their way out of that particular company. Others have not. And as you said, it can be a life-changing experience for them where maybe they've made a living and done just fine. But that's one thing when you compare it to, you know, an exit type of a transaction where they may generate, you know, many millions or tens of millions of dollars, you know, for their family and for, you know, generations to come within their family. So, you know, one of the things we do with all of our clients pre-engagement is we put a ton of time into, you know, our own diligence of the business, their specific niche, their goals, both, you know, financial or otherwise. And, you know, we just want to make sure we understand what they've got, the pros and cons of it, and what they want. And a lot of times that allows us to get ahead of issues before they become, you know, real deal issues.
And how important is it as a seller or a company looking to go to market to sort of have clarity about their own goals in going to market, and what are some of those goals? Because they're not just getting the most money possible. Sometimes they're getting a strategic investor. Sometimes they're solving a problem. How important is that clarity of goals to a company going to market?
Well, it's really important, you know, and if one of our clients has never sold a business before, some have and some haven't, they may not really have a good handle on that. So that's one of those things that we spend time with them on, both pre and post engagement, to really kind of learn more about them. Maybe there's something specific driving their desire to sell their business, or maybe they prefer to sell, you know, 51% rather than, you know, 100%. And so we really dig deep into that to try to understand what's motivating them, because, you know, in the end, we're out there representing them, and we want to make sure we're doing that, you know, faithfully and you know, with as much knowledge of their goal as we can possibly have.
There's all this talk with national debt levels and with the sort of China trade war going on of a potential recession in the next 12 to 18, 24 months. No one could really predict when. Is that causing a slowdown in interest from buyers, or not really having an impact yet?
We haven't seen any impact yet, Scott. You know, if anything, we're getting just as many inbound calls from interested buyers. You know, for our client companies, we're getting interest from strategic and financial buyers in the U.S. as well as outside of the U.S. So I think it's sort of this looming item out there that people generally agree, you know, is going to happen as far as a recession. But I try not to get involved in the prognostication and things like that. And really just, you know, we know we've got a job to do. We know we've got this expertise, and we know we can help a lot of people. So, you know, we just try to be there when we can. And, you know, as I say, it hasn't slowed down buyer interest. It hasn't slowed down pace of transactions closed or anything like that, as far as we've seen.
Another question. You yourself are a business leader and have built a great company, very well regarded in the space that we're in. You also work with a lot of business leaders. Coming out of those two things, what advice do you have for business leaders? What's the most important thing as a business leader?
Yeah, that's a good question, Scott. So I'd say in this market, more than any, you really want to stay incredibly informed. It's changing fast. You know, healthcare, you know, it's an uncertain future, right, in terms of regulation and the market as a whole. That has created a lot of opportunities for folks, but you just really need to be informed. So get connected and take the time to meet people who have that information if you don't have it, and just stay in regular communication with them. I would say, you know, you want to take calculated risks, not crazy risks, but ones that you at least understand. There's a downside, but you could weather it if that were to occur. But where there's considerable upside. And, you know, that could be something like a new marketing strategy or, you know, maybe even acquiring a new line of business and cross-selling with your current clients. It could be anything. And then the third thing that comes to mind is, you know, specifically regarding M&A. I would say just if that's on, you know, on your master plan for some time in the future, start preparing earlier rather than later. You don't want to be rushing around to, you know, get ready for a sale. You don't want to be reactive just to the inbound interest of a particular buyer or anything like that. Some things take years to get in the right shape. And so, you know, plan early.
Take one moment on that question. A typical sale process from the time you're engaged to the time a deal closes, you know, assuming there's an information memorandum, there might be a quality of earnings report, there might be other parts of the process. What's a typical time frame from start to finish, if there's a typical time frame?
Yeah. I'd say there probably is. I mean, usually what we say is it takes around 6 to 7 months from the time we're engaged to the time the deal closes. There are always exceptions, you know, that are shorter and longer than that, but that's what I think is a reasonable expectation.
No, that's a great time frame, I think, to think in terms of. And then the most important thing is that people keep running their business great during that period of time, so if it doesn't go well, they're still in good shape. As important as anything, I take.
Absolutely. And that's one of those things that, you know, when we're engaged or when somebody asks pre-engagement, you know, we tell them, look, you have to run this thing as if you're never going to sell it. Just keep doing what you do because in all likelihood, you know, they've built a great business. And so keep doing that. Let us handle the transaction discussions. We'll bring you in when we need information or to keep you updated and all those sorts of things. But let us focus on this stuff while you're focusing on what made your business interesting in the first place.
Brian, another question. Is there a business leader that you particularly admire that you see as a role model, that you see as, God, how they do their investment banking, how they do this, how they do that in business, whatever it is that you particularly admire?
Yeah, I'd say not really. No one particular person. I mean, what I've done over the years is having worked in a number of investment banks, and as you mentioned, had that experience in the Air Force way back when, a lifetime ago. I've tried to take all of that, right, and really kind of mold this firm into what I want it to be. But, you know, in terms of, you know, traits of a particular leader, I tend to think of things that way. And, you know, I do appreciate people who've come from humble beginnings and they've built something pretty cool, whether that's a career or a company. You know, I also like people who do things a little bit differently, you know, than most. I appreciate the differences between people, and I appreciate people who've built their credibility, you know, ethically and honestly and just through good old-fashioned hard work. So, you know, that's kind of how I think about that.
I think that's fantastic, and thank you for your thoughts on that. One final question, then I want to ask you how people could reach you. How do you stay motivated year in, year out through the course of a career? You've now been a professor for 25-plus years. How do you keep yourself excited and motivated and after it and keeping excited?
Yeah, it's a good one. So, look, I mean, I take this work extremely personally. You know, we never lose sight of the fact that every client has made a choice to hire us, and I do not take that trust lightly, not in any given day. So, you know, we're hired by people who need us to optimize that transaction for them, whether they're buying or selling. And sometimes that's, you know, a person who started their business maybe 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, and they're thinking about selling and maybe transitioning to retirement. That's the whole ball of wax for us. I mean, it's just so critical that we do it right for them. And so, you know, we just keep that right in front of us every single day. And, you know, there are a lot of circumstances why people hire us. You know, it could be a private equity firm that's, you know, wants to develop or execute on an investment thesis, just as important to us. So I just kind of keep the personal element of it right in front of me and recognize, you know, the risk, let's say, that people take when they hire anybody outside of their firm. And so, you know, we don't want to let anybody down. So that motivates me, and I think it motivates the whole team here.
It's fantastic. And then last question, Brian, how do people reach you if they want to talk to you more about their business or just get advice from you in any way, shape, or form? How do they get in touch with Brian Greenberg?
Do you mean just contact information or?
Exactly. Or what about Greenberg Advisors? Exactly. How do they find out more about you?
Sure. Website is one spot to learn more about us. Just, you know, greenberg-advisors.com. Got a ton of information up there about transactions we've done recently, the team, all of our smiling faces, things like that. Certainly they can call or text me. Cell phone's easy, 202-669-6679, or office 301-576-4000. And, you know, we go to a lot of conferences. Becker's conferences, of course, we love. And, you know, a variety of other industry conferences. So we're out there and I think fairly visible, but always available and would love to chat with anybody who's got questions.
Brian, it was just a great pleasure visiting with you today. Just terrific. Thank you so much for joining us. You were just great, smart, and you're great at what you do, and we appreciate you joining us today. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. I really appreciate it. It was great chatting with you as well, and thank you again.